Hi, I'm Tim Hernandez. Welcome to another edition of Words on a Wire. Our special guest today is poet Cassandra Lopez, and she's based in Washington State, and she has a fantastic debut collection of poetry. It's titled Brother Bullet, and it's out with the University of Arizona Press, and they always put out wonderful books. And this collection of poetry actually circles around her brother's murder, which happened, I think, around 2010, but it deals with her family's grief and sort of her own coming to terms with all of that. It's just a really stellar collection of poetry. I can't say enough good things about it. And so we invite you to join us. That's coming up right now. Cassandra Lopez is a Chicana, Kahuilla, Luiseño, and Tongva writer raised in Southern California. A Canto Mundo Fellow, Lopez is also the founding editor of the literary journal As Us, a space for women of the world. And she currently teaches at Northwest Indian College. Cassandra Lopez, welcome to Words on a Wire.
Hello. It's good to be here.
It's great to have you, Cassandra. It really is. I'm excited to talk with you about your, just this really incredible narrative done in poems, you know, and we'll get more into why I'm calling it that. But the book is titled Brother Bullet. And it's out with the University of Arizona Press. It just came out in February, is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
So we are publishing mates, I guess you would call it, because I think Arizona Press has a couple of my books. I know they do, but I think that they're one of the really fantastic publishers that are out there right now. You know, I don't know if you were like me in that when I was coming up as a writer, before I ever had anything published, but every time I'd find a book that I loved of poetry or something, and I would always look to see who the publisher was, and it was always the University of Arizona. And I thought, one day, is that how you were you like that too?
Some of my favorite writer or books are published from the University of Arizona Press. So I always thought, you know, this was even before I really knew anything about writing or presses or anything like that.
Right.
But when I went back to look to see where they're published, you know, a lot of them are. So that's always good. You know, it's always nice to know that.
Yeah. I remember when I used to pretty much sleep on Juan Felipe Herrera's couch, he would have all this array of nothing but University of Arizona Press books. And that was kind of my introduction to their work. And I would read like Simon Ortiz, and I would read Pat Mora, and I would read Ray Gonzalez. And I would just read all these authors, and I fell in love with their books. And so ever since then, I thought, well, yeah, you know, I'd love to one day have a book published by them. And, you know, they rejected me for about 7 years or 9 years, something like that.
Oh.
But in the end, it turned out that we're wonderful, lovely friends, and I love them. Did they reject you for that many years? Were you rejected?
No. Okay. But I really had submitted to a lot of different contests, but I was very intimidated by the process, since it was not just a simple process of you pay your money and you submit it.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's a little bit more thorough and more thoughtful process. So I was a bit more intimidated. So it took some like encouragement. You know, I had asked, a couple of people who are on the press, what is your experience? Do you think I should submit to them? I asked Laura Day, who is a poet, and Jennifer Forrester as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all very encouraging.
Yeah. Yeah, they really are. I mean, and I say this honestly, you know, they just are really a fine press, and their books get out there. And so when I saw your name come across the catalog, I said, oh, Cassandra, I know Cassandra. And I was really excited, and I started to read the description of the book, and I said, this is a book, I have to read it. And I read it, and I knew right away that I wanted to interview you. So we're just really honored that you're here on the show, and congratulations on, this is your debut book, right?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Why don't you actually, before we get into the conversation about the book, why don't you kick us off and so that our listeners can hear a poem? Would you
mind? I'm going to read one of the, it's sort of in the middle of the book. This is one of the first poems that I wrote for the book. It's called Open the Door, Eyewitness.
Can you tell me what page that's on so I can follow along?
It's on page 31.
Okay, perfect. I'm there. Go ahead.
Ear, mouth, and hands become witness. I'm all instinct, arms and legs propelling on their own, shutting door. There is a ringing inside me. Bullet's rapid breath, a thick wave I must escape. Brother's mouth gurgles. I touch his fluttered lips, his face still penny warm. There is a buzz of black. Do you hear me? Brother, is that what it sounds like for you? Where are my screams? I speak in a neighbor language. father's fingers are fish drowning. They cannot dial a phone. Instead, father searches for shotguns. In this house, a siren's mouth, a blue, red, and white light. The house breaks the buzz. Your baby's mother is wailing. She leans on a chair, the wall, her bones melting. She is letting herself slip into the current. There is a wetness here. All the rain. Cop bends to brother, slaps his face, and asks, who did this to you? We must fill the bathtub with questions. Let it run, spill over the edges, into the ocean. Bird of paradise murmurs. My throat crackles nonsense. So many questions. Even when night comes, again, we must open the door. I don't always remember, but my body does. My pinprick follicles soldier up. Throat locks. The hurricane I push down. Legs want to run from an invisible bullet's groan. In my dreams, there are always doors. In my dreams, they come. And I clip through the wild waters, mapping the world. Know each exit, which windows break, where we break, till bullet catches us cold. I want to be a thick-shelled mollusk, clam up tight. Is that brother? His lumpy neck? His voice is caught in the veins of the orange trees. Every day I open that door and think I am living someone else's life.
Oh, man. Wow, that is a fantastic poem. If you're just tuning in with us, we are speaking today with Cassandra Lopez, poet, who's talking about her debut collection titled Brother Bullet, and she just read a poem that was titled Open the Door. Cassandra, why don't you tell me a little bit about the poem? What's behind this? Because I want to also, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but also underneath the title Open the Door, you have, it begins actually with this sort of a subtitle, says Eyewitness. Tell us a little bit about the poem.
Well, this is a book of a witness, I think. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I wrote it, I had, you know, to be honest, I had only written two poems before I witnessed my brother's murder at the end of 2010. And I had been studying fiction in grad school and, you know, I'd written stories, but I had never really studied poetry or written very much poetry. Mm. But this event really sort of shaped my poetic journey. And I felt like the only way I could really express myself was through poetry. Mm-hmm. And I felt the most comfort in poetry. And so I think, it, you know, having to do with the imagery and being able to express the emotions in a sort of imaginative way where instead of I'm chronicling what happened in advance, but, you know, with a more narrative, I would have to, you know, make more sense of it.
Right, now I get it, yeah.
Yeah, and here I just kind of like, I mean, the focus was on the feeling and the images that sort of stood out to me on that particular night. And a lot of this book too, is the you is my brother. It's, you know, it was a way for me to sort of extend the conversation that kind of got cut short, right? Mm-hmm. And so a lot of these poems are addressed to him.
Yeah. You know, and I have to be honest with you, part of what drew me to this book to want to read it is the title Brother Bullet. And the way that it's set up on the page, I know our listeners can't really see this. They'll probably get to see the cover maybe on our website at ktep.org. But the way that the title is placed is the word brother is in bold, and then underneath it, bullet, also in bold, so that you almost kind of have to kind of reckon with each word individually, brother, and then bullet. And that drew me in because for a very personal reason, you know, what I think maybe what we have similar or almost in common there is that for me, that's what changed the trajectory of my life too, is that a bullet took the life of my uncle who lived with me and my family. And he stayed in the bedroom across from my bedroom. Mm-hmm. And he was like my older brother to me and always supported me and encouraged me. And we were, you know, living together. And when he was shot and killed by the police while he was unarmed. And up until then, I was a painter. I was 21, and all I did was paint. I painted. That's what I wanted to be, was a visual artist and muralist. And when that happened, suddenly it was like painting wasn't urgent enough. And the way you described right now how prose for you or fiction, you know, the long narrative didn't feel sort of urgent enough, so you turned to poetry, and that's also what I turned to, was poetry, and that's the first book I ended up writing. So for you, you know, sort of changing the trajectory of your path towards poetry, and this being your first publication, how do you see this narrative of what happened to your brother, and it was directly your experience, how do you see that shaping your future in writing, or does it?
You know, my witnessing, you know, my brother's murder and that experience, you know, shaped not only my writing, I guess my writing career, mm-hmm. but also, you know, my life. And I think also the way I write as well, not only in terms of genre, mm-hmm. because I think on one hand also the type of writing, this book is more narrative, I think, and people read it as a narrative. They often, someone told me, oh, I felt like I was reading a memoir.
Yeah, you know? Right, that's right.
It has that feeling because it is so narrative. But, you know, like now this book was focused on really just sort of getting those specific, or writing really into the trauma and into the event and sort of expanding out of that. But I'm also now looking at sort of trauma, sort of in a longer sense, in a sort of like historical trauma, and playing with form as well, mm-hmm. which is not necessarily always art and timeline, not also very linear. So this book was originally posted in my mind. I was thinking, oh, I'll write for like a year, right? Mm-hmm. Like I'll write a year worth, like it will take place within a year.
Yeah.
But that really is not how like grief works. That's not right. Like you're not over something in a year. And also, you know, there's poems that I wrote that were early on, but I think I moved some of those, also some of those more, I think, very like emotional poems are into the middle as well, because I wanted this to be clear that, you know, even after the event, you know, the grief is very secular, and the trauma, you know, those experiences comes back. So it's not going to be like, oh, everything gets better as you sort of go right. through the book, you know. I think, you know, I wanted it. And I do think, I tell people I don't suggest reading this book in one sitting
right.
because I think it can be a lot to take in.
Right. Although that's exactly what I did, was read it in one sitting. But I think maybe perhaps I have a kind of a different investment in this mm-hmm. kind of narrative. And I wanted to know, you know, and to be quite frank, it's because I've attempted to write this book that you wrote. I've attempted to write it about my uncle. I've attempted that many times in different poems. And I could never sustain myself being inside that grief long enough to compose an entire collection of poetry. So it's always come out like one poem here in this book, another poem about mm-hmm. it in that book, a short story about it, you know, so it's always kind of been in fragmented ways that I've been able to approach it. But that's what pulled me into this entire book in one reading, in one night, because, yeah, I was just excited about reading about a poet investigating her own grief, her own soul even. And in doing so around this incident, also actually kind of investigating or questioning the community's role in it all, the larger picture, you know. So reading your book for that reason was very personally rewarding for me.
Yeah, I think as I, you know, they said my first instinct, you know, was to write about the specific event. But as I sort of, you know, I think to sustaining, and as I, you know, as I wrote more poems, you know, I knew that it was just not about a personal grief. It was like about family grief, communal grief, as you mentioned, because that's how we are as people, right? We're not just an individual. And I wanted to have that part as well in it. And you get toward the later, I think it becomes almost also a little bit more political as well, mm-hmm. as they sort of like reach toward, you know, go further and make connections with his death and sort of the other like violence in the world. And so I think that's how, you know, I was trying to look at it, you know,
right.
in the beginning, not very part, but then sort of kind of changed the angle as I went through it.
Right. And yeah, that's, I mean, there's so many layers of complexity of as you're investigating, you know, not just your brother's murder, but also, you know, your own self and the community's role, as I said, or the familial role, even the family that's involved around this. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I think I first met you in Boulder, Colorado. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah.
through our mutual good friend and wonderful poet, Tenaya Winder. You know, were you working on these poems at that time already? Was that, I don't remember.
Yeah,
what
I started working on these in 2011. Well, so my brother died at the end of December 2010. And luckily, I had been enrolled in a workshop with Dana Levin, you know, in the spring. Mm. And so, you know, and I think it's sometimes, you know, recommended, you know, maybe you shouldn't write about things that are so fresh in your mind, right, get them right. workshopped because it's so personal, you know, and so immediate. But for me, that was the only thing I wanted to write about. And I couldn't, like, I couldn't force myself to write about something else. Like, it was the only thing that, you know, that really was kind of helping me get up in the day. And so I started writing those, like, pretty soon immediately after. And Dana was a great teacher. She was my first poetry teacher. And
who is this? I'm sorry. What was the name? Who was this? I'm sorry. I didn't catch that.
Oh, Dana Levin.
Oh, okay. Okay. Gotcha. Uh-huh.
And so she, you know, she also writes about grief and mortality and all of these issues. And I think she was just really allowed the poems to kind of like do what, you know, I intended them to do, but was also giving me some like foundation, you know?
Right.
So that was like an important like part of, of that. Some of the early poems in here came from that class.
Right, right. I see. And, you know, I think about, well, you know what, actually, why don't we have you read us another poem from the book? Why don't we start there?
Sure. This is called Someone and Some Page 70.
Page 70?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Someone drove across the street over the curb, over slick blades of grass and broke our chain link fence. She was a smash of anger and drink. I think a part of her was broken the way we have been broken since brother died. It's a part that hurts on a night hushed, dull, except for a woman screaming. The woman tries to run over a man, someone who did her wrong. A different man did us wrong, ordered you dead on a different night. But I know this feeling, a wide open gash of gut that causes this woman to crash into cars, crash into fence, crash into our playground and into our sleep. Plinths of wood topple, a small child's playhouse ready to tumble. We have already been left unsteady. No quick fix for the broken. Hinges unscrewed, wood chopped and nails collected. Father asks, what can we salvage? He sits here beneath the sun, tear hunched, canyon calling brother's name, waiting for a response. Father says, the fence means mending, dirt dug, the shovel breaks, spring ground.
And if you are just tuning in with us right now here on Words on a Wire, we're speaking with the wonderful poet Cassandra Lopez, who just came out with her debut collection titled Brother Bullet. It's out with University of Arizona Press. And we're going to hear one more poem from her before we close out. But I have a few more questions for you, Cassandra. One of them is, you know, I know that, like we said earlier, that the book came out just in February. But, you know, what has the response been so far? And has the response been what you've anticipated?
It's been good. And I did some readings back home in, you know, which is for me, I live in Washington right now, but, you know, home is always for me, you know, the inland California, Southern California. I'm from San Bernardino. And so a lot of the book is about that place.
Yeah.
And the sort of surrounding area and my family's like connection to that.
Yeah.
You know, so I did a reading at UC Riverside and, you know, it was really great to see people, you know, their response. And some of it, they're also feeling very emotional and vulnerable.
Right.
And so it is, on one hand, like, I really appreciate that, you know, they are connecting to us.
Mm-hmm.
But it also is like, a type of sadness as well. And I talk about how I feel a kinship for people who have also, you know, who are grieving or who have lost loved ones to, you know, especially to urban violence.
Right.
And so, you know, when I read or when I share, oftentimes I do, you know, make those connections with people who, you know, share, you know, like, as you said, you are reading it to and you know, have that connection. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, it's great to connect with people on that level, but it's also a part of me, you know, I wish there wasn't a need to have that connection as well. But yeah. I definitely, you know, I'm grateful about the response I've, you know, received from it.
That's great. That's always rewarding, finally, when you kind of get to get out there with a book and share it with communities and get some of that feedback, you know. You know, by the way, I would imagine your family's read the poems or have heard the poems. You know, I'm wondering, how has their response been?
Yeah, and they're very, very supportive. Great. And my parents are supportive. And one thing I also hadn't, like, my initial, like, thought about writing is I write about my brother's children, you know, but,
yeah, that's right.
You know, now I see that, you know, this is, and I write a lot about my childhood memories of my brother. And so I think this is a nice sort of gift or a way to have something for them as well, that they can share. And so that's something that I think about. So my nephew was only 6 months old. Uh-huh. And so, and he's able to see nine now. And so I don't know if he's, you know, he's not reading this on, you know, on his own right now.
Sure.
But hopefully in the future that this is something he might turn to.
Right. That's right. Yeah. Absolutely. That's quite a gift. You know, that's quite a gift for the future of your family and generations down the road, you know. Why don't we actually, we've got a couple more minutes left. So why don't we have you read one more poem, and then we will close out.
Okay, great. So I'm going to read the last poem in the book. And this poem actually took me the longest to write because it was suggested that I, you know, write another poem to end the book and that perhaps it be about citrus, because a lot of the book is about, you know, has a citrus theme. And I think, like you were mentioning, it was really hard for me to go back into that space. Mm-hmm. So it took months and months and months for me to write this one poem. And I'm happy that I wrote it and was able to close it out, but it was just very difficult for me to sort of get back in this type of headspace, where I'm so, you know, into that at that particular moment, which was like almost remembering, you know, and being there and having it in my mind, you know, something that was 9 years ago. So this is called Oranges Are Not Indigenous. To the place I call home, not like we are, but when I am away and Father sends a box of oranges, I open it and breathe in the scent of home. It calls me back, even on the days when Brother's voice grows quiet. When Uncle packed up Brother's clothes, I angered. I wanted to keep alive Brother's scent as long as possible. When I dream regret, I press my face into his chest, Brother's body as big and brown as a bear, my nose resting against his soft black shirt, and inhale. Our oranges begin to ripen in December. We wait for the branches to hang heavy with fruit before a harvest as we also ripen with blood loss. We grow and release this December ceremony. This death date is sharp and sweet, marked on calendars and our bodies, marker of time, marker of new memories. Before Bullet, youngest nephew was barely formed, but now he helps me pick lemons, pointing to the brightest ones that are sometimes out of reach. In April, we celebrate Brother's birth with the cars he loved. The 67 Riviera is washed in detail, the rims cutting against the gaze of the sun. Isn't this how you would want it? Your first son and brother friend cruising the city, your car dancing, its body suspended by a rush of tainted air. We are all suspended in that between place as the parking lot vibrates space. Spring comes and mint grows soft and green from a leaky faucet in the backyard. My face presses into the ground and I inhale. It grows even when Brother's children do not visit or I have been away. I need these reminders of how we survive and still grow so fiercely against the edges of this earth.
Oh man, that is a great ending. And that is the voice of poet Cassandra Lopez reading from her debut collection of poetry titled Brother, Bullet. That's out with the University of Arizona Press. You can pick it up everywhere. Cassandra, it's been such a pleasure having you on our show. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. And congratulations again on the book, and may it do well.
Thank you.
And that wraps it up for this edition of Words on a Wire. I'd like to thank our special guest today, Cassandra Lopez. Be sure to pick up her debut collection titled Brother Bullet, out with the University of Arizona Press. Also like to thank our magician, stellar wizard back there behind the board, Stefania Castro. And thank you also, listeners. And I look forward to seeing you again, the same place, same time next week. Words on a Wire, KTEP 88.5 FM.